You can head towards Pesach. Shoshim Karmachag. Ready. So there's a chiyuv to learn the halachas. I would suggest that if there's a chiyuv to learn the halachas, Kabbalchomer, then Benosha Kabbalchomer Pesach, which is the yisoid of all the munah. You see, it's the yisoid of all the munah's klal yisrael. Every time we talk about the yisoid of the understanding of our munah, we do not go back to B'yir Shemayim Ba'aretz, the famous kasha that the Kuzari asked. The Ibn Ezra quotes that Yehuda Levi asked him this question: why do we set the Tzarsa Dibris B'Anoch Hashem L'Kecha Asher Hutzicho Mi'at Mitzrayim Mi'Beis Avodim? Why don't we start with something which is more all-encompassing, Anoch Hashem L'Kecha Asher B'Rosi Shemayim Ba'aretz? But we don't. We go back to the Yisitz Mitzrayim Badafka. This is something which Klai is a witness with their own eyes. We do not go back to Amuna Tsuyu Matan Taro. For our source of Amuna, we go back to Amuna Tsuyu Yisitz Mitzrayim. And there's many Rishonim who deal with this question. They give different answers to this question. If we look in the Psukim, there seems to be a fascinating conversation going on between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro. In introduction to the Makkos, so Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro, but Karmar Hashem b'zos tedaki ani Hashem. With this, you're going to know that I am Hashem. So that's introduction to Dam. Then there's after Dam there's Sardeo. Then there's Kinim, and then the introduction to Orev. The Pasuk says that he tells you should go tell Parai there's going to be this Makkah of Orev. So by introduction to the Makkah of Dan, and now there's Orev, there's Dever, there's Shchin. In the introduction to Borod, so the tzach adash b'achav, b'vur teda kein kemoini b'chol oritz. Kini Hashem akarev oritz, kein kemoini b'chol oritz. The Ramban, at the end of Parshas Boy, where the Ramban says that we find that Yisrael Mitzrayim is the yisoid of our emunah. So he says that the process of Yisrael Mitzrayim taught us many yisoidos about the emunah, and he brings the pasuk Kini Hashem Bekarev Oritz, Matat Akil Hashem Oritz, Bavor Tidakein Kamani Bechol Oritz. So he brings the different psukim which are mentioned over here to indicate that there are different elements in the limud which are taking place. So the first step is the limud. Now this limud is for who? So the pasuk clearly says the limud is for Paro. Now, it's a fascinating thing. So the Bereshim's goal is not to teach Paro any lessons. The Bereshim's goal is to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Whether Paro admits, doesn't admit, he accepts, doesn't accept, like, what the goal is to teach Paro. The Russian is going to show Paro, he's going to teach Paro. Like, who cares what Paro thinks? So, in the introduction to Borod, Pasuk says like this: V'ulam b'avur zos hematicha. The truth is, I could have destroyed you. There's nothing stopping me, the Bereshit says, from destroying you. So why didn't I do that? The reason why I kept you standing I was makayim you, but we're haras koyas kochi. I want to show you my koyach. You find a similar lashon. The soif dover of the final destruction of Mitzrayim is by Kriyas Yamsuf. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the Rosh Hashanah tells Moshe, "Ani hinini mechazek es leib Mitzrayim yivor achareihem v'kavdav b'faroi b'chokalo v'rikpoi b'for Hashav v'yadu Mitzrayim k'ani Hashem," and the Mitzrayim will then finally know that I am Hashem. So Reb Chatzko says, now, how long did Mitzrayim know that for? As it been killed? It lasted for a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, because I'll say each, the best of the Mitzrayim went down very quickly. The ones who were more Mitzrayim took longer. The worst Mitzrayim went up and down a lot, so they had the Gedia for a longer period of time. This is the last moment of their life, and they came to that Yediyah. The Mishnah says, I want the Mitzrayim to know this. It means the Mishnah was teaching Mitzrayim a lesson. The Mishnah was stressing, I want Mitzrayim to know this. Shir Das has a ha'ora. He says, why didn't Paro kill Moshe and Aaron? I mean, these kings killed at the drop of a coin, they killed people. Moshe and Aaron were quite a nuisance. And they didn't kill him. So if you're to tell me that it's an ace, so we would like the pasuk to stress this. This is a tremendous ace. And Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are going in and out of Paro multiple times, endangering their lives. And nothing happened to them. And the Medrash Taka says that they came to the palace, and it's impossible to get to the palace because there was kishuv and there was lions, and there was the lions came and acted like little dogs walking next to them, like daso, like you have your little dog walks next to you, but it's a tremendous nace. So why isn't that part of the conversation? He says, Paro, we see. Paro was a person of Shivan Lashon. He was quite an intelligent person. And Paro was having a philosophical debate with Moshe Rabbeinu. The supporter says a fascinating thing. What was the purpose of hardening the heart of Paro? The purpose of the heart of Paro is that Paro should, like the Rambam says, he was given an opportunity to accept. He didn't accept. Bereshit says, fine. Through your Bechir Berah, you lost your opportunity to do tshuva, and I'm going to now use you as the Hechatimsa to teach a lesson. The Sephora doesn't say that. The Sephora says the Russian wanted Paro to admit to the reality of Hashem and send out the Yidden because the Kodesh Baruch Hu asked him to do so. Not to do it because he's pressured. But he's going to do it because he's pressured. What's his choice? He's overwhelmed. So the Russian hardened his heart, was mechazik as liboy, to give him the strength to withstand the makkah, and then to come to the recognition and understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really the one in control, and send out the Yidden because of the Kvod Hashem. And by Makkas Bukharis, he got to the point that with all of the chizik leiv, it's impossible to recognize the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, Christ was out because of the Kvod Hashem. So there's a point of understanding. So the person was waging a philosophical debate. He wanted power to come to a true akara. He realized that meanwhile this process is going to take that ability away from him. So the person added into the process the ability to allow him to come to a true akara. And if it didn't work, they still needed another lesson. They got the true akara of Yod Mitzrayim Keni Hashem as they're going down into the Yam. The Rosham shepherds with the person, he mooches with the person, he wants to teach them the true emes. But imagine what happened to Klal Yisrael along this process. Klal Yisrael is downtrodden, they don't recognize the true level of emunah that Klal Yisrael is supposed to have. And Klal Yisrael is learning the lesson along with Paro. there's everybody has their pet peeves, you know. You don't have to accept my pet peeves. You know, it's my pet peeve. I like plastic frogs. When you're playing with them in the sandbox. Not by the Seder. I can think that they're putting out an interesting... they're doing a very nice... here, somebody in the community had an idea of putting out a Haggadah with different Divrei Torah from the local Rabbonim, or Rebbeim, etc. So they solicited all of us to put something in. So I wrote a Hakdama to the... My shtickle is I wrote a Hakdama to the Makkos. So excuse me for reading from it, a little bit from it. Okay. One modern Haggadah likened the impact of each Makkah to dropping an atom bomb in Mitzrayim. 1 week of Dam meant people dying of thirst, animals dying of thirst. The stench of the river and of the dying fish and animals was physical torture. The emotional impact of seeing the vulnerability of their God caused many to go crazy. The economy came to a halt, crops died, there were no animals to plow, people to tend the fields. The shaman of the Jews having water and the fact that the Mitzri had to buy water from the lowly Jew was demoralizing. The frustration and depression expressed itself in each home, destroying any fabric of harmony. That's what the Makkah was. It was an atom bomb. Financially, the economy came to a halt. Emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, physically, the Mitzri were pulverized in every which way. They were dying of thirst. People all died. People had demoralized to the point they had to buy from a Jew. It was torture. The smell. Mitzrayim drink blood, but not when it has dead fish. The smell of dead fish in it, the stench of dead fish. The Bereshit brought the greatest nation to its knees, and that was Dan. And this continued Makkah after Makkah. The mightiest empire was rendered defunct and brought to its knees. We can develop a picture with words by using our imagination and creativity to the point of connecting into the minds and emotions of the Mitzrayim. Destruction and war, devastation and turmoil aren't foreign concepts. We just need to connect it to other scenarios that we have seen and read about. Even more significant was the emotional boost for the Jews. After being downtrodden, beaten, and exploited for so many years, they felt abandoned and forgotten by Hashem. The stunning destruction of their oppressors indicated to them that Hashem knew and that He cared. The abandoned and lost child was being sought. Imagine the discussions taking place in the homes, in their homes at that moment, each day of the Makkah and each Makkah. They marveled at Hashem's power, interest, and care, felt His love and concern. They saw justice and truth emerging triumphant. It was nothing less than an emotional earthquake. That's what a Makkah is. So I pointed out that if you look in the old Haggadahs, there's a small phrase in fine print written before the Makkahs. It says that it is proper to explain and clarify to your family the extent of the destruction and pain of each Makkah based on the sources of Medrash, Gemara, Chazal, and Zohar. So it's based on Yisrael Shor Shavoyda. So the problem is, of course, that by the time we get to the Ten Makkahs, we're on a race to make chatzos. So, but this is the most important moment of the Seder. This is the moment where we sit and we think and we respond and look what it means, the relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu has with Christ. Look what He did to the Mitzrayim. Look what it means, the Muna. The Mantei Hashem, Bekerav Oretz, Kein Kamoni Bechol Oretz, Kein Kashem Elokeinu. This is the foundation of our emuna. The Rabban says, this taught us Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu was predicted beforehand. Not only did he predict beforehand what's going to happen, he predicted beforehand that a human being will lose his Bechira, which that is the most phenomenal Kiddush. That's how perfect Nevuah is. They saw Skar, they saw Eretz, they saw Hashkacha, they saw the Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah cares. They saw every single Yosayit of emuna. this is the night, and this is what we constantly review twice a day, is Hechlat Yitz Mitzrayim. But at this night, to trivialize it with plastic frogs is like, I would call it Yetzirah, but that's you know, it's not thinking. Tzardeya wasn't Tzardeya, according to one suggestion, it was crocodiles. Tzardeya were if they were frogs, the Russian gave them metal claws. They clawed into human beings' stomachs and they went inside their stomachs. They made sound which went for day into night, the Chinese torture of the constant sounds. They jumped into people's faces and they attacked them. They ripped their faces to shreds. They're bleeding messes on the ground. People died. People died from having these animals sticking into their stomachs. It's not plastic frogs. That's not the message that you give to your children. You're talking about atom bombs. Lo Aleinu, you read about, you could take out the story of Hiroshima, what it looked like after an atom bomb, and that's what you tell your kids. Unless it's, you think it's too graphic, they can't handle it. That's what Mitzrayim looked like after Tzardeya. It looked like Hiroshima after an atom bomb. I once went, my wife always has, you know, she says, you know, me and my Musar vacations, right? So if you ever travel to Cleveland and you have a little bit extra time, so you want to go north about 25 minutes or so, you take Interstate 99, okay, to Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Johnstown, Pennsylvania was zoicha to have, until this day, as far as I know, the worst act of God, supposed to man-made. I'm not sure what's called man-made or not. Catastrophe in United States history. Johnson lives in a little valley, and this river goes through the valley. 10 miles, 11 miles upstream, there's a lake, which was made by a dam. And there was a large amount of rain. Large amount of rain for days and days and days. Now, of course, the people who lived around this in those days decided that, you know, they don't like the spillways being too effective because they lose all the fish. So they closed off the spillways. So eventually the dam burst. And the way this through the city of Johnstown came a force which was the equivalent of Niagara Falls coming through the city, according to the estimates. The power of what it was. They have pictures there. This took place in 1889. They have photos already from that time. They don't have no movies. They have photos, and they show you pictures of the city beforehand. They show you pictures of the city afterwards. Picture of the city beforehand. There's a city. Picture of the city afterwards. There's a mud flat. There's no houses. There's no trees. There's nothing. All there is a mud flat. Desolation. That's all you see. And there's a movie there, a documentary there in the National Parks system explaining what's happening. And it has the background, it has the sound of rain falling the whole time. So I said to her, now you get a little bit of a picture of what Kriyas Yamsuf was like. So I said afterwards, for months, every time it started to rain, she had nightmares from this visit over there. That's the description of what we're talking about. We're talking about absolute destruction. The Medrash of Chumash says, so the Mitzrayim was worried about his children, so he gave it to the Jews. He had 10 sons, he gave 10 children, gave his 10 children to the Jews. So the Jew goes out for a walk with the kids, you know, and the Reed comes and takes ones and eats it. You know, it's like a funny joke, you know. It goes to every single one. Each one was taken by a different animal and eaten. Comes to come, where are my kids? He said, well, the first one ate by the Re. Gives them the whole, you know, gives them the whole laundry list of what happened. It sounds cute. I mean, you call it cute. You understand, Lo Aleinu, what it means to a human being to lose a child. You know what it means to a human being to have 10 children in the morning and come home and have 10 dead children? That's what happens. Most people will lose their minds at that point in time. There's people all that went through the war. They lost their children. They lost their minds. And the people didn't because they have tremendous emunah b'tochen. The mitzvim didn't have tremendous emunah b'tochen. Why the Bereshit do it? Schar v'onesh. There's punishment. There's Yir Shamayim. You can pick up a lot of Yir Shamayim for the night of the Seder. Hashem did it to Shah Hashkacha. The Hashem knows. Hashem cares. Hashem takes care of Klal Yisrael. Right? Klal Yisrael was wondering, does Kadosh Baruch Hu care about that? Yes. Most definitely. Look what he did. Why did he do it? The emotional earthquake is the right word for it. It shook Klal Yisrael out of their stupor. The proper use of this moment can be a life-transforming one for ourselves and our families. Let us hope that we use it well. That was, okay. That's a sales pitch for buying the Haggadah. Why shekels? It makes sense. We have a month. We have less than a month. There are collections of Midrashim which talk about Damakis. Some of God's have it, it's available in English. Nowadays you have the little medrash says, and the medrash says, and the adult medrash says, and let my nation go, let my nation, whatever, I don't know what the name of the book is. But again, it's read as a story. Don't read it as a story. Stop and read it the same way you're reading the description of the destruction of Hiroshima. You don't read it as a story. You picture it. Picture what's going on. And picture what would your reaction to be to that. And that's the goal. How would you be affected? If you would be living there, how would you be affected? So the purpose of the story is to try and present it in first person in a language which, it doesn't capture it. Because they sanitize it. Because you can't write a book like that. It's the graphics of the book are so violent that it wouldn't be acceptable. But I'm sorry, this is what happened. It was violent. Now, whether you want to sit over the center or not, that's your business. You know, it's work out to you and your parents. Right? But for yourself, you know, your bachurim can handle a lot of, you know, scary, they watch horror, scary movies. You know, right? It doesn't seem to bother you for that. Not in yeshiva. Read a Holocaust story. Read what it means that they bombed the city. Picture it. Absorb it. Absorb the message, what it means, the nation which is being redeemed, how they felt, how they cheered. Now, the Ramban, interesting enough, when he mentions the psukim, he mentions those three psukim. Now, there's a fourth pasuk. He mentions the pasuk of Kini Hashem Bekarav Oretz. Kini Hashem Bekarav Oretz. Ken Kimonim Bechol Oretz. There's another pasuk. By after Tzardeya. So, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paroi, "V'yikra Paroi the Moshe L'Aaron Yemra Hatira L'Hashem V'yisert Tzvarim Mimeni Mami Ashakos Oham." When do you want it to happen? He says, I want it to happen tomorrow. So the conversation over there, what's Moshe Rabbeinu's Paro says, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu's like playing a game with me. Of course I'm going to say right now. Like, why would I say it tomorrow? I mean, I'm recognizing that you need to dive into Hashem to remove it. I'm recognizing that the destruction over here is mind-boggling. I'm going to say tomorrow. Of course I'm going to say right now. So Mestam and Pshat is that there's a mazel that's supposed to leave right now. And Moshe Rabbeinu is playing a game with me. He's going to threaten, you know, say, I'll be in a spot. I want to try and challenge me and see what time it'll be. And you'll see that that'll work. He says, okay, fine, Mr. Smart Alec Moshe, tomorrow. Moshe says, no problem. The Rabban does not quote this pasuk. This is part of the lesson of the also. So Rabban Tishio, in his Agot in the back, he has a kuntras on the ten makas, different to Oris and Machshavos. That pasuk is the pasuk which we have in Veschanon. We talk about there's nothing like Hashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu we love. When we call it Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the power of tefillah. Ken Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu has the. This is a different lesson that the power of tefillah that Klal Yisrael has. Hashem Elokeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe tells Paroi, Kini Hashem, Kini Hashem b'kerav oretz, Kini Kohen b'chol oretz. Hashem Elokeinu was a separate conversation. But what we learn this pasuk is, look, Moshe Rabbeinu is able to daven Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe says, okay, whatever you want, Moshe, I will do. The Moshe is meshabed himself to the Ratzon of Klal Yisrael. Can you imagine the message to Klal Yisrael? That Moshe Rabbeinu is part of Klal Yisrael's ability to be mispiled to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the exact time it's going to happen. And the Rishon will listen to him. Maybe Makabalah's tefillah. The Kach of Kabbalah's tefillah. Klal Yisrael had a challenge with Kabbalah's tefillah. Right? I have dealing with a situation. I have a young man dealing with family, whatever. The boy doesn't want to daven anymore. He has a very difficult situation. He tells his mother, Hashem doesn't listen. I daven, Hashem hasn't taken it away, so why should I keep davening? It's a hard question. So imagine what Klal Yisrael felt like in Mitzrayim. Whatever reason the Rishon wasn't being Mekabel Tefillah, but now they see the Rishon is Mekabel Tefillah. It's also important, the Kuda, that we need to absorb. That wasn't the lesson for Paro. That was the lesson for Klal Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu. So, Be'ez Hashem, over the next two or three shmuz, and I just wanted to touch maybe on some specific nekudas in the Makas. This is more like a Hagdoma, but the Makas. The power of the message of the Makas, if you think about them and mispronin about them, different dimensions we can take. That's my job, but I want you to do it on your own also. Don't wait for me. Don't rely on me. You need to mispronin it yourself. And this is our foundation of our Amunah, that we do it right. We have a tremendous Yata Deshmaya that will take out of Pesach specifically, and Tzitzayim every day, and more generally, tremendous understanding of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is, the power of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, how he showed that with a clarity to the Bria. He wants us to remember that we should have that clarity and then absorb that and translate into a reality in our lives, that there's responsibility. And that was the final purpose, Moshe Rabbeinu says, is you're going to do a vayda. It's going to translate into, okay, the Baruch Hashem is real, the Baruch Hashem is powerful, the Baruch Hashem, everything is Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm not living in my own world. I'm living in his world. What does that mean, Lamaisa? Translate into our realities. And Klal Yisrael's Kabbalah of Anuch Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitzicha Meir 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 Tzitz